the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, which is today, 50 days after Passover, or 50 days after Jesus died on the cross, 10 days after his ascension into heaven, we find the historical event Pentecost occurring in Acts chapter 2. Now, there was an Old Testament feast relating to Pentecost that whose meaning is beautiful, very prophetically significant. But from a New Testament perspective, Pentecost to us is when Father kept a promise made and poured out his Holy Spirit. That the era of living under the Old Testament law came to an end. And the very Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, would come upon and in the lives of those waiting disciples and change them forever. So it's a day of remembrance and a day of celebration. Here's the good news about it. That the Holy Spirit they experienced, we get to experience. That the same Holy Spirit about which Peter preached, about which Joel had prophesied 500 years prior to Peter preaching, the same Holy Spirit that was poured out that day, almost 2,000 years ago, is still coming upon disciples of Jesus today. The same Holy Spirit is still empowering the followers of Christ, his bride, his church, who carries his message of the kingdom. So that's very, very good news. To sum it up, you have availability and accessibility of the Holy Spirit just as they did. The very same Spirit that moved and worked through Jesus Christ can move and work through you. And when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, to paraphrase it, Peter takes Joel's prophecy and says, a new era is beginning now. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon all flesh, not just select people like kings and prophets and priests in the Old Testament. But everyone's in, not just Jewish people who are part of God's chosen nation, Israel. But all people, every tribe, every ethnic group. And the announcement was made, the young women and the young men both get in on prophetic ministry. Men and women both get in on dreams and visions and the prophetic. And then what unfolds is that church going out like we sang about it this morning. They couldn't wait to tell the good news. There were signs and wonders and miracles. The early church possessed a supernatural culture. It wasn't just a religious routine of getting together in the same building in the same way, week after week, and talking about what God used to do. Rather, it's a dynamic body of believers who, under mandate of the Lord, gather on the first day of the week every week and pray and worship and fellowship and allow the Holy Spirit to move and work in their midst to an extent that when they leave that gathering, they go into the world and they carry on the ministry of the Holy Spirit with the people they encounter through the week. And they do that. That's the book of Acts. Read it. The story's there. Actually, it's your story's there. Because you can do the same things. You can live the same kind of life. It may not be in Ephesus. It might be in Lexington. It might not be in Smyrna. But it may be down the road in Killen. It may not be over in Thyatira, but it might be down at Court Street. It's the same Holy Spirit The same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. The same message. That's what we're called to. And it's not boring. Life-giving. Joy-filled. Very much alive. That's who we are. That's what we're called to. All of it takes place because of the ministry of the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus so taught it and believed in this message. He told those disciples hours before he was crucified, it is expedient, or it is to your advantage, or the best thing that can happen for you is for me to go on back to the Father. So the same Holy Spirit who's indwelt me and empowered me and led me can come and indwell you, empower you, and lead you. That's good news. I believe this morning, well, let's go to Luke 24, Robin, if you'll put it up there. Here's what Jesus told those disciples prior to his ascension. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So there you've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I send the promise of my Father upon you. You've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. Okay? But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until. Until is a timing word. Like, Jesus now is seated at the right hand of God the Father until, Acts 3 tells us, the restoration of all things. He's given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teacher, until, and then the maturing, the perfecting of the saints. Until is the timing word. So you wait in Jerusalem until you are endued, that word means to be clothed upon, until you are endued with power from on high. This power, dunamis, it is the dynamic power of God that does not find its origin in man, humankind. It's not found in the earthly realm. We're told here that it is released from the heavenly realm on high, and it comes down through the Holy Spirit, enters into your life, and is expressed through you and experienced by you. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. If we just realized what an asset the Holy Spirit is. He is amazing. I think we're all guilty of greatly undervaluing His ministry at times. We're guilty of ignoring His presence with us at times. He is with us at all times, but sometimes we are guilty of not valuing that, acknowledging that, are availing ourselves to His presence. 10 years ago yesterday, which would have been May the 22nd, 2011, there was a man by the name of Laszlo Hanyets. In Jacksonville, Florida, he made an order at Papa John's Pizza Parlor. He ordered 2 pizzas. Little did he realize he was making history when he placed that order. And as time has rolled on, we are understanding more than ever today why what he did then is significant. Let me tell you what was so significant about a guy in Jacksonville ordering 2 pizzas from Papa John's. He placed the first ever order of a purchase, in this case, 2 Papa John pizzas. The first purchase ever placed, ever made, using a new digital asset called Bitcoin was made. How many have heard of Bitcoin? I figure most of us, unless you've been in a coma, on a very long vacation, or been hiding in a cave somewhere, you've heard of Bitcoin. It is called a cryptocurrency. It's actually a digital asset. It's being referred to now as digital gold. It's the new thing coming in the fintech world. How it will bring significant change in the whole financial arena. When Laszlo Hanyets ordered those pizzas, he paid for those two pizzas with 10,000 bitcoins. That's what it cost him. In other words, bitcoin was almost worthless. It took 10,000 bitcoins to buy two pizzas. Today, or at least yesterday, if you evaluated that, basically, in today's value of bitcoin, Laszlo paid $384 million for two Papa John's pizzas. Now, that's quite a pizza purchase. If you want to figure it out further, at 8 slices per pizza, total of 16 slices, that's $24 million per slice. Woo! That's some pricey pepperoni. But see, Laszlo had no idea of what the value of Bitcoin would be. By the way, if you take the predictions for the year 2025, those two pizzas would have cost him $5 billion. Yeah. Similarly, I think we underprice, undervalue, and underappreciate the Holy Spirit. What an asset. How valuable He is to us. He'll guide us in all truth. He shows us things to come. He convicts us of sin. He leads us and guides us, comforts us. He has access to all the mind of God. No man can know the mind of God save the Spirit of God. Everything you really need to live the life that God created you to live, the Holy Spirit's right there to help you with it. And He is irreplaceable. More can happen in one moment of the Holy Spirit moving upon your life than can happen in 1,000 lifetimes of human effort. There's no organization, no club or group out there apart from the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can offer you what is offered you through the gospel of Christ and the attending presence of the Holy Spirit that comes with the deal. We should not be apologetic about the Holy Spirit. We should never be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. What an asset that we have. I want to share with you briefly three challenges this morning, because I believe most of us here today, we want to be men and women of the Spirit. If we're not living by the Spirit, we're living by something else, some other spirit, or by our flesh. We want to be men and women of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. The early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit and changed the world in which they lived to carry out the vision God has given us, to fulfill the mandate that is upon us, that Jesus Himself has left the church. It is impossible without the Holy Spirit. So three challenges. In these three challenges is a trifecta of truth that if we can measure up in these three areas, we will be men and women of the Spirit. The first one is simply, we must be, first of all, born of the Spirit. The Bible's clear about this. In John chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus, a religious leader, came to Jesus by night. He was flabbergasted. He looked at Jesus and said, "Listen, I get it. Nobody can do the things you're doing except God be with him." And Jesus began to minister to Nicodemus. I believe Nicodemus slipped out at night to meet with Jesus because it would have gotten him in trouble in the daylight with his religious buddies. But he was hungry for the authentic. And the first thing Jesus did was begin to introduce him to the Holy Spirit. He said, you could read it. He tells him, you know, there's a birth in the natural and there's a birth in the Spirit. You've got to be born again. You've got to be in the... And what I'm talking about, you can see the leaves moving in the tree. But you can't see what's moving, and that's the wind. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. What you need, you can't wrap your human mind around. You can't dissect it with a set of eyes and a pair of ears and 10 fingers. You need the Holy Spirit. You need a new birth. You need to be born of the Spirit. He says it in verse 7 in this way. Do not marvel. This should not shock you, Nicodemus, that I said to you, you must be born again. You see, Nicodemus had enough Old Testament in him. He should have known Jeremiah and Ezekiel talked about a time when God would create a new heart in men. Not like tablets of stone, but a fleshy heart. In other words, one that's alive. And Joel had prophesied there's going to be a time when God would pour out His Spirit on everybody, on all flesh. Anybody that would call on the name of the Lord is what Joel said. And Paul repeats in Romans 10. So the first challenge is, have you been born of the Spirit? Have you? Are you born of the Spirit? I'm talking about a supernatural transformation that takes place when you are saved. The Bible calls it being born again. In 1976, the United States elected a new president, Jimmy Carter. He was formerly a peanut farmer from Georgia. Got elected to the Georgia legislature, became the governor of Georgia, then elected president of the United States. You may not agree with everything Jimmy Carter did politically, but let me tell you something I appreciate about Jimmy Carter. He was questioned about his faith and his religious beliefs. Unapologetically, he said, I am a born-again Christian. And it shocked people. Not that he said he was Christian. That can be a cultural label that's palatable to people today. I'm Christian. A lot of people are Christian. So on the religious buffet, you've chosen to be Christian. But when Jimmy Carter said, no, I'm a born-again Christian, he was testifying he had had a personal religious, quote, end quote, experience with Jesus Christ by which God's Spirit transformed him inside out. It's like using the name of Jesus, using the idea of being born again. Well, you're saying I'm not all right the way I am. Not only am I saying that, I'm saying the Bible says that. Not only am I saying the Bible says that, I'm saying the Creator God that made you says that. There's none righteous, no, not one. You must be born again. You've got to be changed. Sin's done made a mess of us. And nothing can untangle that mess except the redemptive work of Jesus Christ carried out by His Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. A number of years ago, when Mickey and I lived in Memphis and we were part of Bellevue Baptist Church, and I was an intern seminary student. I was an intern. We taught a Sunday school class, and God blessed it. And we had a large number of people in our Sunday school class. And we got contacted by one of the ladies one day, wanted to meet with us, and she began to pour her heart out. She said, listen, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay with my husband. He was a salesman that was away from home a lot, and he'd really gotten into some dark stuff. He became bound. She shared it with us. We prayed with her. We tried to encourage her. And we said, we'll start praying for him. 2-3 weeks later, he was in the Sunday school class with her. And at the end of the class, I struck up a conversation, began to talk to him. And I asked him a couple of questions. He said, is there somewhere we can talk in private? I said, yeah. And so we ended up getting in that classroom, closing the door. And everybody else, there was a kind of a break between then and worship. And so I got my Bible out, and I just started sharing with him. I went to Romans 10 and told him, you know, you can try as hard as you want to, but living by the law, trying to live by good works, trying to live by good doesn't measure up. Romans 10 says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believes. The law just brings you to the end of yourself. Like, I can't keep this. I can't live this way. And then you find Christ who saves you and forgives you and empowers you to live a life that's pleasing to God. I shared with him where Paul wrote that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You know, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. You'll be saved, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it took a few minutes to work through this and explain it to him. He said, you know, I've heard heard all this, but today it's like I'm understanding it. You know what that meant? The Holy Spirit was working. He was causing the Scripture to come alive, and the man became convicted. And then just a little bit, he's letting me lead him in prayer. Tears are streaming down his face. He was confronted with his condition, what he had been doing. He was under great conviction. He confessed Christ, and Jesus just saved him right then and there. Just boom, or kaboomba, I like to say. I mean, it just happened for him. You could see the moment it happened. It's like his eyes changed. A countenance of joy came upon him through those tears glistening off his moist cheeks. And he smiled and he said, oh my goodness, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. I got to tell my wife, called her name. I was all for that because I knew she was going to be happy. A couple, 3 weeks later, we get a phone call. Mickey answers the phone. It's her. It's the wife. She says, well, just want you guys to know, I've got a new husband. Now, she wasn't saying she left her old husband and got a new one. She was saying, the husband I had is a new husband because he had met Jesus. That's what it means to be born again, to be made into a new creation. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live in you and bear witness. You can know that you're saved. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you have peace with God. I'm not saying you'll never doubt it. I'm not saying there might not be warfare by the enemy to try to back you off of it. But listen, dear friend, there is an experience called being born again. It is a definite experience. It can happen in a moment. And when it happens, you're unaware of all the prayers and all the labor at the altar of God on behalf of other people for that to happen in your life. But most of all, we'll totally at rest on the finished work of Jesus. And God works through His people to witness and to pray and encourage people toward Christ. Have you been born of the Spirit? Like my friend in Memphis. It was such a joy to see him come alive, begin serving in the church. Couldn't wait to get to church. Participating in our Bible study class. God just does that. That whole family changed when that daddy, when that husband met Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The second challenge, not only must you be born of the Spirit, you must be full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes, in the middle of, he's actually writing out his prayer. He's telling believers in the area of Ephesus what he prayed for them. A great prayer to study, a great prayer to pray. Worthy of our time in our prayer closet to go to Ephesians 3 and use it. This is one of the things Paul said he prayed. He said, I'm praying that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That's that when it moves past your head and becomes incarnational in your heart. Thank God that you memorize Scripture, that you know Scripture. But you can quote Scripture like shooting a BB gun. Boom, 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 boom. But when that Word becomes alive inside of you, that's when it begins producing in you what it carries. That's how the promises of God works. You find a promise of God, you want what it promises, you let it become incarnational in your life. It'll produce what it carries. It's got that seed in it. And Paul said he prayed. He said, I pray that you'd be filled with all the fullness of God. There is a fullness of God. And that we can be filled with the fullness. You're full of something. We're all full of something. You might even be full of a spirit. But you need to be full of the Spirit. I've ran into a few of those a spirits. Demons. Yeah, they'll let you host them. You host them, they'll roast you. Now, to be filled with the fullness. We argue and we can debate about the terminology. I've been baptized with the Spirit. I recommend it. I've been filled with the Spirit. I recommend it. I've been empowered by the Spirit. I recommend that. There's a lot of different terminology. I've been slain in the Spirit. I've had that happen. In other words, the Spirit coming upon you, and next thing you know, you're on the floor, and it's like you and God are having a good time, and the rest of the world disappeared, and people think you're crazy. Don't get hung up on what terminology you need to attach to it. I'm not saying don't study theology. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to understand the terminology in Scripture. That is important. What I'm saying right now is, don't let that become a stumbling block to you, like you're not getting it because you don't know what to call it. Just go ahead and get it, then call it what you want to. Because once you've got it, you'll be happy about the getting of it. And you won't want to be without it. Or I say, at that moment you won't. Because I've discovered that even we people who have experienced great encounters with God and wonderful times when we've had visitations and experiences with the Holy Spirit, if we are not careful, the drumbeat of the world can dull our hearing and we won't hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit. The shiny ornaments that culture waved before us will attract us, and we won't be turning aside to see why that bush is burning. Are you hearing me? We must be full of the Holy Spirit. David could say, my cup runs over. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul literally in the Greek, he says, and go on being filled again and again and again with the Holy Spirit. It's a repeated experience of being filled over and over. Let me put it in layman's. Let me put it in redneck language. Billy Bob bumping up against a bar on Saturday night with a half a mug of beer. He'll say to the bartender, top her off. Or back in the old days when you pulled your car in, when people actually pumped your gas for you. But somebody came up with the smart idea of charging you more and making you pump it yourself. But back in the old days, you'd roll down your window and you'd say, fill her up. The idea was, fill it up till there's no more room for more. That's the idea of the fullness of God. And the Holy Spirit's like the ocean. You can't take your kitchen glass and dip a glass of water and drink it and say you've experienced all the ocean. It's just, that's the way by saying that, well, I've met the Holy Spirit, and I know all there is to know of Him. Big buzzer sounding right there, folks. Red X. That is wrong. You can live a lifetime and 1,000 added to it of experiences and encounters with God through His Holy Spirit. And there's always yet more. John said of Jesus in closing out his gospel that, and parabolically, I believe he's speaking, he said, I suppose that if everything had been written down that Jesus did, even the world could not contain the books. In other words, the Gospels just contain a thumbnail sketch of all that Jesus did. And the same Holy Spirit is now living in us. How much territory could we claim we have not claimed? What revelation have we not received that we might yet receive? There's always more. Mickey and I, on our way back from our trip, on Friday, we got a phone call from a man who was a young man 20 years ago. And when we first met him, he showed up at our house. And he was having a come apart. He needed deliverance. His wife came with him. We sat at the kitchen table for a while and they shared what they were going through. He shared his struggles. We began to pray. Holy Spirit came upon him. It was such a powerful. We saw this happen many times in our living room during those days particularly. The Holy Spirit came upon him and boom, he's gone. There he is. He's laying in our living room. And we get a phone call from him. It's like the third call I've gotten in the last few months. He's doing well. He lives several hundred miles from here. And he says, I'm in the middle of a big decision. And the Lord laid on my heart to call. He said, I always think about you and Sister Mickey when I've got a big decision. He said, I'll never forget that. And he took us back to that night. And just to hear him talk about it, I'll never forget that night. He said, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, the peace of God, I'd never experienced it like that. He said, it changed my life. That's when my spiritual journey really took off. He said, I've been living for Jesus through all these years. He said, but I'll never forget that night I got delivered. And he was talking it up, wasn't he, Mickey? I mean, he was just so excited. And he began sharing. He was in the middle of this business opportunity. And it was quite amazing, some new technology and how God's blessing it. And in the middle of that, he gets contacted by another company with some more new stuff. And he said, I don't know what to do. Both of these are such huge opportunity. And he said, I've got this prophetic word from back in those days when you prayed for me. And he shared, the person that shared the word, he had not forgot it about how God was going to bring him into wealth that was going to be used in the kingdom. He said, I'm not ruled by money. He said, but when this started happening, I thought about that word. And said, but now I've got these two things going on. So we prayed about it and we talked about it. But what really spoke to us was just hearing him testify about that night when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was set free from that bondage and how it radically changed his life. That same Holy Spirit lives in you and me, believers. So you must be full of the Holy Spirit. Last thing. You must be led by the Holy Spirit. You must be led of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, that's first. You're not going to be full of the Spirit and led of the Spirit until you're born of the Spirit. Once you're born of the Spirit, you need to get full of the Spirit. Try to stay full of the Spirit. Stay filled with the Spirit. And then as you're led by the Spirit, you're going to see the kingdom of heaven invading your territory where you live. You're going to see answers to prayer. You're going to see God come through for you in remarkable ways. We are called to be a supernatural people. And I want to tell you, when you're led of the Spirit, there will be times you'll see the remarkable. But most of the time, it's about the leading of the Holy Spirit in your everyday, ordinary life and dealings in life. To learn to be led. In that way. I love the remarkable. Let me tell you a remarkable story right quick. This was March 25, 1999. I was in a car on the way to Haleville. Driving the car was my friend Pat Taylor. I was going to minister to a group of believers over in Haleville. I was the First Baptist preacher that had got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd been going over there and ministering some in different places. So Pat was going with me and he knew when I'm going on a trip, not say anything. We turn on worship music and just soaking and listening and praying. Lord, if you got a word for someone tonight, is there something you want to show me? And we're just praying like that. In the middle of that, wasn't a long trip, 30 minutes, but on the way, it's just one of those times, and this was in the early days of being filled with the Spirit and learning to hear the voice of the Spirit. God's teaching me. Well, in the middle of that, I had a vision, just boom, like in the theater of my mind. That's where an intrinsic vision. Sometimes I've had external vision where it's like suspended and out in front of you, like watching the screen, that kind of thing. But this was an intrinsic vision. It was just, I'm watching this movie in my head. I wasn't thinking about it. It just came. And while I'm praying, that's a pretty good indicator. And what I saw was a jet plane, a United States military jet plane that's flying. Then, boom, it starts tumbling and then crashes into the ground and explodes. And when it crashed into the ground and exploded, then just like those words up on that screen, I saw a word come up just in white letters in this vision. And it said Belgrade. Well, I knew Belgrade was some city in some country. At that time, I didn't remember where it was or anything. I knew where Belgrade was. I didn't know about Belgrade. I just knew it was a city. And I told Pat, I just had this vision. And I saw this jet, military jet, a United States military jet. It crashed. And I saw the word Belgrade. And that's somewhere. I don't know. We just need to pray. So he and I started praying, Lord, we prayed, you know, that this wouldn't happen. And we prayed, Lord, if just protect that pilot. We prayed the way that we just knew to pray, you know, like you had to start praying for something you didn't know anything about. You just aim and fire, right? That's what we did. Went on to the meeting. And in the meeting, I thought, well, I wonder if this will come up, if the Lord reminds me of this. Never did. I didn't feel any unction to share it at that time. On March the 27th, which was 2 days later, in the evening, on the news, it came on about a U.S. military jet had just been shot down and crashed near Belgrade, Yugoslavia. And I'm like, say what? Whoa, Lord, I saw that. I saw that two evenings ago. And it just really rocked my world. Like, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit can show us things to come. And it's amazing when that happens. And then I got to thinking, but Lord, why did you do that? Then I remember, well, Pat and I prayed. And then when I got hearing the full story and reading about it in the coming days, it came out that this was shot down by some anti-aircraft missiles in Yugoslavia during the NATO bombings during that time. Yugoslavia no longer exists as Yugoslavia. There's 7 of the independent regions of Yugoslavia that became their own countries, like Bosnia, and there's 7 of them, Herzegovina, 7 of them. But anyway, that's where it happened. So I got to reading about it, and they had shot down the aircraft. It was the F-117, and Lieutenant Colonel Dale Zelko was the pilot's name. He bailed out. It was ejected by his seat. He was able to land safely by parachute on the ground. The enemy armies began surrounding, trying to find him. He packed up his chute, hid in a culvert in a ditch. In the early hours of the next morning, a U.S. Army helicopter came in, quickly landed, got him, and carried him off to safety. So when I put all that together, Lord, you called me and Pat to pray for that. And who knows how many other people he alerted. These prayer groups, women's prayer groups, men's prayer groups, praying mamas, different people God alerted to pray. Why didn't he just avoid it? I don't know. We don't call that shot. We just get in on what God's doing when we're led by the Holy Spirit. So that's the story of how remarkable things can happen. It's encouraging because, wow, that was the Lord. And he used me to do that. But most of the time, being led of the Holy Spirit is learning to hear his voice. Don't you talk to your wife that way. You love her the way Jesus loves his church. No, you need to remember. No, don't let your child do that. You need to raise your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to lead you in your everyday life. And there will be times when He'll just begin to, you'll have an urge. You don't know why. I need to talk to this person. And in the conversation, God comes up. And the next thing you know, you're ministering. Or you may have a scripture that comes to your mind. Oh, I feel like I'm supposed to share that with you. Or, I think the Lord's saying this for you, Paul. God can use you in that way when you're led by the Holy Spirit. We just have to live with an awareness that this Spirit, this wonderful Holy Spirit, He lives within us and He wants to lead us. All of us are following someone or something. Who are you following today? Who's leading you? If you want to be a man or woman of the Spirit, you must be led of the Spirit. We're unapologetically a spiritual people who are to experience a supernatural culture, who are to be led of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit in this house. We believe it's very important for our character to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We believe it's very important in the kingdom that we flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we haven't cut any of them loose. We believe in all of them, speaking and interpreting tongues included. We believe this is our birthright as sons and daughters of God. Unapologetically. Why? Because this is what Jesus taught. This is what the New Testament presents to us. This is the life we're invited into. Welcome to the journey. The promised gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad on May the 26th, 1997, I encountered the power of the Holy Spirit as a Baptist preacher that was discouraged and knew there had to be more than he had experienced. Because I was reading it in the Bible, but I wasn't seeing it in my life and I wasn't seeing it in my ministry. And I met Holy Spirit in a powerful way. I'm glad on August the 8th, 1968, in a Free Will Baptist altar in a revival service on a Thursday evening as a 10-year-old little boy, I gave all I knew of me to all I knew of Jesus at the moment, and He saved my soul. Yes. I'm so glad on a March Sunday evening in 1983, as a convicted believer that wasn't mustering up and manning up in my spiritual life, I got down on my knees in an altar, and when I stood up, I knew I'd been called into the gospel ministry by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Holy Spirit does. And He's no respecter of persons. And He's Father's gift to His bride here on earth. Sons and daughters are led by the Spirit. Sons and daughters should stay full of the Spirit. And we became sons and daughters because we were born of the Spirit. I can feel it again. Same place in the early service. I've come to realize in my walk with the Lord, Holy Spirit is my friend. And I will confess to you, I do not regret anything the Holy Spirit's done for me. Yes. From the chastening of the Lord to encounters and visitations and the privilege to preach His Word as I'm doing this morning. But I do regret in my walk with the Lord, I regret the times I have grieved the Holy Spirit. That I have quenched the Holy Spirit. I don't remember a time when that turned out too well. The Holy Spirit is our friend. And I believe the Lord's speaking to people this morning. And I know the Holy Spirit knows what you need. And I am trusting Him right now. That He's alerting you and making you aware of how this message speaks to you. Have you been born of the Spirit? Why not give your life to Christ today? Our worship team is coming. In a moment, we're going to invite you to come if you've never trusted Christ. Listen, this is the most important decision you could ever make in your life. To know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And I'm believing the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now if you've never been born again. You can become a born-again Christian right now by turning from the way you're living toward Christ, recognizing your need for Him and calling upon Him to save you. I'm going to ask some of our leaders, our altar workers, to come right now as we all stand. You come on up and be available here. I need a couple of you on, at least a couple of you on either side. Some of our staff, feel free to come. I believe there's some people here this morning you've never experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit. And leave what that looks like and how He will manifest to him. Just ask. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And I believe that the word I share, I don't even remember if it's this service or the former service, about not defining what the Lord may want to do. I believe there's some people the Lord's dealing with about that. In other words, open up the doors and let Him do what He wants to do. But Lord, I'll do this if You'll do that. No. Lord, here I am. Have Your way in Eddie Lawrence's life. That kind of invitation. To humble ourselves like little children. And I will tell you, the New Testament pattern we see very often in the book of Acts, people laying hands on people, and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Many times, you see they would begin speaking in tongues. I believe there's other things that can manifest as well. But you come. You come if you're hungry. You might be one that says, listen, I've been under the spout where the glory comes out, and I know what it's like to be filled and filled and filled again. But this morning, I need more of God. I'm tired of same old, same old. I need a fresh infilling of You, Holy Spirit, in my life. Maybe you just need to come and kneel in this altar, and you pour out your heart to the Lord and ask Him to pour out His Spirit on you. Trying to open up the doors for whatever He might want to do, whatever you're feeling led to do. Would you come if He's speaking to you right now? We're going to begin to worship. As the Holy Spirit begins to move, we may not end this service. You can just trickle out as you feel led. But let's make room right now. Holy Spirit, let's all ask Him, Holy Spirit, have Your way in my life. Lord, if there's someone You want to heal here this morning, if there's a word You want to come forth, someone You want to save, someone You want to pour Your Spirit out on, have Your way, Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Worship team, begin to worship. Come now. There are people here who will pray with you. Pray with somebody's having praying under your left rib cage right in here. Right in here. Something's been going on and bothering you. I believe the Lord wants to touch you and heal you. Come right now. Come. Come. Receive prayer for that right now. Step out from where you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come close. Are there others?